Taheresi'ialofia Mau is a sociology lecturer from the National University of Samoa who is currently pursuing doctorate studies at the University of Otago. She is the chairperson for Pacific Youth Council and undertaking research on advocacy and activism as emerging trends of youth engagement and social action in the Pacific region. Tahere is on the line with us now. Talofa lava Tahere, and thank you so much for joining us.
Talofa ete, thank you for having me.
It is indeed my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about your background growing up in Samoa. Which nu'u are you from, and where did you study before you became a lecturer in Samoa? And please, Tahere.
Sure, thank you. I was born at Matautua, and I was raised in the community of Tiapapata. My father is from the village of Avao, and my mother is from the village of Lauli'i. After attending my foundation year at the National University of Samoa, I did my undergraduate, my bachelor degree at the University of the South Pacific in Fiji. And then I did my master's of social work in Jamaica. and then I went back home at the end of 2015, and I started working, teaching at the National University of Samoa from the beginning of 2016. And now I'm here at Otago pursuing a PhD in sociology.
Wow, quite a journey. Were your parents academics themselves, or are you the first in your family to pursue the academia?
Oh, no one in my family is an academic. My parents were caretakers at the Baha'i House of Worship for over 30 years now, and I guess I'm the first one to pursue this line of career.
They must be very proud of you.
Very much.
So they are obviously Baha'i themselves. Is that where the name Tahere comes from?
Yes.
Good guess. I thought it might have been Tahitian or something like that. Now, studying in Jamaica, oh my goodness, what was that experience like?
Sorry?
Studying in Jamaica. What was that experience like, your studies that you did in Jamaica?
Geographically, it wasn't a surprise. They have a tropical climate just like Samoa, except they're much more hotter than Samoa. But it had to take a while to adjust and to adapt to the people and how people speak. So it took a while for me to be able to understand how people speak and how they talk with their accent, and then just understanding how people behave, the social norms within the Jamaican society. If you understand how those social norms are, then you're able to get around.
Wow. And did your accent become Jamaican as you stayed longer?
I think I did have it for a short while.
Yes, well, you do have to speak the accent for other people to understand you, don't you?
Well, it's quite unique because they speak Patois. You have to listen carefully because in a way it's kind of like mixed, or in a way broken English or English words are combined, and so most Jamaicans speak Patois, and so you have to try and adapt to understanding that way of speaking.
You must be glad to be in New Zealand, where the English is a bit more, it's easier to understand. How are your studies? Before we went on air, you were saying that you are in Dunedin with your husband, which had me thinking, is your husband Fijian because you studied there? Is your husband Jamaican or is he Samoan?
No, he's Samoan, full Samoan.
Oh, well done. Well done, Tahere. You see, often when we send our people offshore, they get captured by the locals, but you have obviously been brought up well, good Samoan girl. Mum saying you've got to come back home and get married to a Samoan man. So how are things in Otago? How long have you been there, and how are the studies coming along?
Everything is going well, even though studies are becoming more and more demanding this year as I start to collect the data for my research. But I started last year in April, and so my program is for 3 years. So I'll be finishing hopefully April 2022. But at this stage, studies are quite demanding at this stage. But so far, so good. I'm in the fun part of the research process, collecting my data from my research participants. And so, yeah, it's the fun stage I'm at right now. So far, so good.
Yes, as a non-academic, you have to explain to me. You are collecting data, and you have participants. Is that right? Are these people that you are using to provide you with the information that you need for your studies? Is that correct?
Sorry, Itza, you were a bit static. I didn't get the.
Okay, as someone who's a non-academic, I'm just wanting to know how the process happens. You are collecting data, you were saying. Are these from participants? These are people you have chosen to help provide you with the information that you need for your study, for your research?
Yeah, so the participants for my research are youth advocates and youth activists from the Pacific Islands.
Yes. So tell us a little bit more about that. It is an interesting space, given that traditionally our youth do not have a voice within our traditional societies. Most of the whānau in the village are the elders. They are the matai. Often the youth are told to be at the back, you know, and to do all of the whaaus. But we are living in a new world, and I guess you are right in the middle of that, and that's what you're research is all about. What are some of the challenges? It is a new age, and our children are having their voices heard, as you are now quickly finding out.
Yes, so I would highlight two main challenges that are, I would say, generic across young people, no matter what Pacific Island you're from. And that is, one, it's the minimization of spaces, structural minimization of spaces for young people to actively engage in as equal partners within these spaces. And then the second challenge is the marginalization of youth voices. And so these two things, you know, kind of go hand in hand with each other. And so these are kind of like the overarching challenges that our young people encounter in communities and in our Pacific societies. And so, you know, that I noticed that there has been an emergence of advocacy and activism, you know, and it was emerging from young people. And so this is I would say it's a new emerging trend for our young people in the Pacific Islands to be engaged in advocacy and activism. And because of the lack of spaces for young people to engage in and to have a voice, and the lack of opportunities or not recognizing the importance of youth voice, young people have resulted to creating their own spaces and creating their own spaces for them to have a voice. And so that has, you know, led to a lot of young people emerging as advocates and as activists within their communities and within our Pacific Islands. And so I think it's very important to recognize this emerging trend among young people, because most of the time, the only thing we most often we only recognize, you know, the problems, the issues, youth issues, and what young people are facing as problems in their communities and in their societies, but very little attention and recognition is towards, you know, the work that young people are actually doing that's making an impact not only in their communities, but the society in general, and most importantly, to them as young Pacific Islanders within their own respective communities. And so, yeah, I thought that my research would highlight, would shed some light on bringing to the forefront advocacy and activism among young people in the Pacific, and how, because the nature of advocacy and activism, it's a Western, you know, it's a Western concept. And
yes.
So being in very culturally conservative communities, I recognize how our young people are in the position of, you know, trying to uphold their respect towards our culture, and while at the same time, you know, we're living in a modern society, and I think that makes our young people in the Pacific Islands very unique, is because of that particular circumstance of having a footing in between those two spheres, trying to uphold cultural values, cultural
yes,
protocols,
and,
while on the other hand,
Tahiti, yeah. Social media would be having a big influence on this, wouldn't it? Our people are finding a voice on social media. We've had a case of the Samoan Prime Minister coming down hard on a young man a couple of years ago now, from memory. So social media seems to be providing an avenue for our young people to have their say.
Yes, of course. I mean, the young people in this generation, they are the generation of technology. And so social media plays a big role. In fact, social media accelerates and elevates the voices of young people. And so when we lack in actual physical spaces where we can engage in decision-making processes, where we can engage in consultations, social media is the most effective platform that young people tap into, and has become very effective in accelerating the voices of young people on all sorts of issues. And in a way, a lot of young people find it more as a safe space for them to speak out.
And do you think that's a good thing, Tahere? Do you think that's a good thing? Because one of the big problems we've had in Samoa, for instance, is youth suicide, but now the fact that they're able to voice their concerns and begin the dialogue with those in power is a good thing for our young people. They're having their say, they are able to express their feelings, and therefore they're being addressed rather than them turning to self harm.
I think the voice of young people is important. That's unquestionable. How we present our voice is something else. and I think that young people need to unpack what it means to have this freedom of speech. Does freedom of speech to them mean that you go on social media and, you know, say whatever you want to say, but then not knowing the consequences or the impacts of what you're actually saying? So I do say that it's important. Social media is important, and it's an important platform for young people to have their voice. However, I do feel that young people themselves must also build that capacity of how to deliver their voice meaningfully, using these social media platforms. And I think it's also about
Tahere, is New Zealand providing a better model for young people to express their views? Are there other countries that our Pacific countries can look to as leaders in terms of young people having their say?
Oh yeah, I think New Zealand has a lot of avenues. I mean, if I compare it with other Pacific Island countries, I mean, New Zealand is in a great position and has more avenues for young people to access. I just think it's a matter of young people, especially our Pacific young people within New Zealand, in being aware of how to access those avenues and what those avenues are. But definitely New Zealand has more avenues for young people, and in a way much more enabling avenues as compared to young people back in our island communities.
And are you looking for more participants in your studies, or you've got plenty of those? Is there any way our listeners can contribute, or have you got under control?
So I'm looking at 14 countries from the Pacific, and I've reached about 50 plus young people from 14 countries. So at the moment, I'm just trying to get through the current number that I have at the moment, and get them through the interview stages, and then I'll see whether I need some more after that.
Wonderful. Tahere Cecilia Lafia, my sociology lecturer from National University of Samoa and studying in Otago. Thank you so much for your time and good luck with your studies.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're most welcome.